Hello, hi, and welcome back to the Paperback Romance Book Club. I'm your host, the host with the most. I am Melissa. So welcome back. It has been a hot minute since I've done this. Oh, since March. Yay for seasonal depression. Am I right or am I right? I'm just kidding. Okay, I'm not gonna try to be cool. Anyways, hi. Thank you for everyone who has continued to listen, who have liked, follow on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, mostly Instagram. Fun news now is that I am officially a 30-year-old on TikTok. So you can go follow me there. I think the handle is just Paperback Romance Book Club. Oh, one word. You'll see the pink logo. It's fantastic. It's really weird. It's really, really weird. I want to know if anybody else is on TikTok and if you make TikTok, not just like looking at TikToks or whatnot, but I want to know if you're on TikTok. I feel extremely awkward filming TikToks, and then like my kids are watching me, and they're just like, "What are you doing?" And I mean, and they're 2 and 4 years old, and they're still like, "Mom," like my 4-year-old, my twin Ace, like, "Mom, I'm judging you." Like, just, oh. Anyways, I'm on TikTok. It's weird. I do books. Of course, it's about books. And I did do a TikTok, made a TikTok for the Paperback True Crime podcast. So that handle is, I think, just Paperback True Crime Book Club as well. You'll see our new logo on there. Yeah, that podcast is coming back tomorrow. That's exciting, with a brand new cozy mystery. And then after that, we're doing horror movies that are based on true events. So we're kind of covering, there will be books involved, just not in the traditional sense. It's very cool since it is spooky season. We're 10 days into spooky season in October, and I feel like it's already halfway gone. So anyways, there is that. Also, I have some fantastic news. I have a bunch of guests coming on. I have an episode coming out after this one. I talk with Magical Molly, and we are talking about The Lady of Rooksgrave Manor, and yeah, by Catherine Moon. I have someone we're talk I have people coming on. We're talking about Bombshell, about Darcy Brooke, The Forbidden Duke. I have hockey romance coming up. I put a thing out into the universe on Instagram, and people responded, and I'm still kind of like blown away about that. So there's gonna be some guests coming on. We're gonna be, of course, talking about some romance books. So exciting news. Anyways, enough about that. Let's get into it. So today I am going to talk about two books, kind of a series, mostly the first two books. If you are, and I want to, okay, let me stop, pause. I still consider myself a brand new romance reader, and that's okay. I don't think I'll ever not feel like a brand new romance reader, just because I got a late start. Oh, late bloomer at this. And over the summer, I did a lot of reading. I mean, that's a main reason why I took such a long break, is I wanted to get a big chunk of reading done, and I did. I got about over like 100 books read since March, which is, I know, a lot. But there's a lot of books out there. There's a lot of good, I won't say foundation books, but books that when you kind of like mention the title or the author, people are like, that, yes. Like, let's talk about that. Like, I feel like everybody has either read it, they know about it. And I was like, I need to start doing some of these. So I took the plunge and I read and then I reread Lisa Calypso's, I'm probably saying her last name right, the Ravenel series. Yeah, I did it. I finally did it. It's so good, you guys. Oh my God. I also have, because it's kind of a spin-off, I don't want to say it's a spin-off series, but there are certain books in the series, and when I get into it, that are kind of a spin-off series of her Wallflower books. And of course, those are the Secrets of a Summer Night, It Happened One Autumn, Devil in Winter, and Scandal in Spring. And I have those. I have them. I've started Secrets of a Summer Night. I have like right in front of me. Let's see. Yeah, I'm on page 77 since July. It's not that it's not good. It is really good. It's just, trying to read a physical book with children who are demanding of all your time and effort. Yeah, it's a little hard. But I feel very confident saying that you don't need to read that series to read this series. There are books, Devil in Spring, Devil's Daughter, and Devil in Disguise. That's the newest one. It literally like just came out, I think, in August. I want to say August. Those ones do have recurring characters from the Wallflower series. But also, the Devil in Spring sets it up so you kind of know who these people are in a way. Of course, if you've read the Wallflower series, you're gonna be like, hey, yeah, shout out. But reading it without knowing the series beforehand, you're fine. I haven't read Devil in Disguise yet because I feel like I do want to read the first the Wallflower series, but I also have confidence in Lisa Calypso's writing that you wouldn't have to. Also, it's a gorgeous fucking cover. So I also, let's see, of course, read these in audiobook, and it's just beautiful. They are beautiful. Let me pull up. The covers are also really gorgeous. Okay. So let's do a price check real quick. Now, I got these for free through a library app. I think I got these through Libby. There's also Hoopla out there. I think all you need is a library card. And not even that. I think some of them you can just kind of sign up with an email. I'm not sure how it works in your guys' area, but I signed up through my library card. Listen to them for free. It was awesome. I highly recommend that. So we're going to start with The Cold Hearted Rake, and that is book one of the Ravenel series. And so these are probably just, price checks. $6.99 for Kindle. And $8.99 for the mass market paperback. It is saying it's $21.99 for a paperback. You can get 13 used for $2.29. So, and then audiobook is probably going to be somewhere you know, your $20 or whatnot. It is, okay, so all of them are narrated by Mary Jane Wells. We love her. I think she did all of Tess Dare's When Girl Meets Duke series. I want to say that. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, they're a very popular series. Would I pay $6.99 for Kindle? Yeah, I would, but I would also pay the extra $2 to get it on paperback for that cover, for those step backs. I have seen the step backs for all of them, and they're gorgeous. So I would splurge and get the step backs in there. Let's see. Okay, so the first one came out in 2015, and I believe they just like have been coming out steadily ever since, every year since. Yeah, okay, so in order, we have Cold Hearted Rake, Marion Winterborn, Devil in Spring, Hello Stranger, Devil's Daughter, Chasing Cassandra, and then the newest one, Devil in Disguise. So, anyways, I wrote notes, you guys. I wrote some notes. I did my homework. I understood the assignment. I'm done. I'm sorry. I'm done. Okay. Okay. Let's see. I also wrote two kinds of notes for some reason. Like, I wrote notes and then, like, I rewrote the notes. Okay, that's why. Okay. So, the Ravenels, and I want someone to know, I need to ask that. I need to ask somebody. But I'm pretty sure the Ravenels, I don't know if they were ever mentioned before in the Wallflower series. I don't know that. So, I'm going to assume, I don't want to assume, because if you go on Goodreads, for the Cold Hearted Rake, it just says the Ravenels won, but if you go to, like, Devil in the Spring, it'll say Ravenels Book 3, and then Wallflower Series, whatever. Okay, so we have the Ravenels. They're known for their dark hair, this very specific blue eyes with like a dark black ring around the iris, and very, very, very short, not short tempers, but they're like very known for their temper. Like when they lose it, like it's a snap and they lose it. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's also really interesting, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why that part's interesting. So, starting the series off, we meet Devon and Wes Ravenel. Devon has just inherited the Earl title. I think I want to say it's Trenier. Yeah. Earl Trenier, Lord, yeah, Trenier. I didn't write any of that down because, titles. It's just, ugh. Am I right? I'm just kidding. Okay. Back on point. So, they are Ravenels. They are, like, down-the-line cousins of the Ravenels. And there's literally no one left. Like, there's no one left to inherit. the title and everything that goes with it. And he inherited, you know, from his cousin, who, I don't want to say it's like an original Ravenel, but I mean, if you read a lot of historical romance, I think you kind of know what I'm saying. Like, they're like top line heirs. If you don't know historical romance, I'm sorry if that's really confusing. But if you know, you know. So, I mean, they're down the line. And both him and Wes are just like, we want nothing to do with this. We want nothing to do with this. And they're like, okay, we have this plan. We're just going to like sell everything off and then just go back to London and be rakes. Like, that's what we're going to do. Of course, that's not what ended up happening. Because if it did, then we wouldn't have the book. We wouldn't have the series. But it's a good plan, right? I mean, they kind of, when they arrive to this state, it used to be a prior or a priory, literally from the medieval times. Like, I'm not joking. It's falling apart. They like go into it, and there's like floorboards that are either missing, have holes in them, are just like rotted through. They step on like some carpet and they're like foot sinks, like there's mold everywhere. And it's just like, it's a mess. It is a mess of a house. And that's not even before they see, you know, the accounting books and the rest of the estate. And they're just like, yep, this sounds like a good plan. We're just going to sell everything. Wash our hands. They're like, wait. Fuck. Our cousin Theo had a wife. Oh, they're like, fine, whatever. We'll just send her off to some cottage. Yeah. So they're saying all this. And of course, like, in Orcs, the cousin's widow, Kathleen. Now, when I say widow, I mean widow. They were married for 3 days. 3 days. That's it. And of course, the Ravenel temper got to him. And he was also known for drinking. Theo was, anyways. And got thrown from a horse. Broke his neck. Something like that. And died. We do find out that his last words to Kathleen, because of course she came out running after him, was like, don't get on that horse. And he's like, I'm your husband. You don't tell me what to do. You know, he pulled that bullshit. His last words to her, though, were, you're not my wife. And, like, to anybody listening, it's like, okay, well, he doesn't recognize her, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you guys, this is a very, like, not spoiler-free podcast. I spoil shit. So, spoiler alert. I don't want to say you kind of figure this out. But I kind of figured this out. They didn't consummate their marriage. I know. So, she's like, a virgin widow, which I love. I fucking love that so much. Oh my gosh. And now, you know, she has this responsibility. She feels like she has this responsibility to help Devin figure out what to do with the estate. And he's just kind of like, yeah, I'm selling it. And she's like, no, we have to preserve it. Like, this is, means a lot, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I don't care. So, yeah. Anyways, they start bickering, and it is instant, like, instant list for Devin. And we do later find out that it was instant list for Kathleen as well. Like, it's just like, oh, you're hot, but I also can't stand you. I don't want to say this is like an enemies to lovers, because they're not really enemies. They're just, it's just that buildup of like sexual tension on top of like fighting is our foreplay. This sort of type of deal. And I love that. And I think a lot of people mistake enemies for lovers for like fighting is our foreplay only. Because rereading this, I went into it finding like, okay, I need to see kind of like look for more of like the tropes and stuff like that. And I was like, I don't feel like this is an enemies lover. I feel like this is just simply, I have my opinions and you have your opinions, and we're going to agree to disagree on some stuff. We're going to agree to disagree, but that's also fine. Doesn't mean we're enemies. We're also going to bicker, and one of us is going to be highly inappropriate just to, like, I don't want to say pick at the other person, just kind of, like, kind of pick on them, tease them a little. Pick us, not pick. Tease them. Friendly teasing, but mostly, like, fighting is our foreplay. So, yeah. So, Kathleen does finally convince Devin to, I don't want to say save the estate, but like save the estate. And there's a couple of other reasons why. Not just like, oh, this is a piece of history. And he's like, I could give two shits about that. And she's like, okay. Well, the tenants were promised like drainage. And I know this sounds kind of weird, but they were promised like a bunch of things. I think even when Theo's dad was alive, and they just never got it. There was like loans taken out to do it. Just never happened. They would rather, I think they just like gambled the money away, spent it on other stuff, which even now, like, I mean, they were talking about it, and it's a big crime, even for, you know, back in the 1800s. So, and they wouldn't get any money for anything else to do unless they got the tenant problem fixed. And as much as it's a weird thing to be, I don't want to say be worried about, but as like kind of a big point in this book, it also brings in Wes Ravenel, the brother. And let's just talk about Wes real quick. So in Ravenel, our cold-hearted Rake, we obviously knew Wes. Okay, so Wes Ravenel. We meet him right off the bat. And right away, Devin is concerned for his brother. He also gives a little backstory. Like, their parents were mean. I mean, abusive. I shouldn't say mean, because, I mean, you can have mean parents. I'm a mean parent, according to my four-year-olds. As I make them eat eggs. But, I mean, they had just kind of emotionally absent parents. They were sent to boarding school. parents died, and then they were just kind of sent around to relatives who just didn't want them. I don't even think their parents wanted them. So they only really had each other. And that's just how it's been. They don't really question each other's choices, lifestyles. But if one needs help, the other's there to help them. It's a very weird bond, but at the same time, I don't want to say they're very codependent, but they're kind of dependent, codependent on each other for just being there, for just kind of believing in them. So we learn that Wes has a drinking problem, and the word alcoholic is never brought up. But Devin is like, points out that it's like 9 a.m. and Wes is already having a drink. And of course, Wes gets defensive about this. And Devin's like, you're right, sorry. Yep. And so, I mean, it's not a healthy relationship. But knowing kind of their story, you kind of just like, I don't say you forgive it, but you understand it more on why. Anyways, so after talking to Kathleen and figuring out like, okay, well, we can't do anything because there's no money. Like, there's literally no money. Also learn, I'm going to take a quick pause from Wes. We also learned that on top of a crumbling estate building, tenant farms that aren't doing so well, therefore aren't making any money, there's also 3 Ravenel women, the sisters. Yeah, there's like 3 of them. Just kind of wandering around. And of course they have no dowries. No one set up for them to like have their debut. Any of their debuts in London. And they have been left to their own devices since forever. I don't even think there has been governesses brought in for manners or anything like that, because their parents just couldn't be bothered. Yeah. As much as these books are for historical romance, there are some very amusing parts. But it's also a very sad portrait of an aristocratic family that just didn't care for each other. And so now you have these, I hate saying this, but it's basically like these leftover humans that no one wanted. And they just kind of have to like rely on each other now. You know, we have Devin and Wes who have only relied on each other. We have Helen, Pandora, and Cassandra. Pandora and Cassandra are twins. You know, through Ravenel girls that weren't ever wanted because they weren't girls. And Kathleen, who married into the Ravenels, thought that Theo was this true love of her life, this picture of one person and realize that as soon as she got married that he was not that person. Of course, he died and left her with nothing. So you have all these people that are just left alone. And Kathleen isn't much older than the girls. I think she's only like 23, maybe 24. And Helen being, I think in this book, I think she's maybe 19 or 20. So Kathleen has, of course, taken on being like this mother figure. But I was like, you're not older enough to like be a mother figure. You know, she's not old enough. We also find out, of course, that Kathleen contributes to this very sad story of childhood neglect. Her father is an Irish earl or something like that. Her parents raised horses and had a very established name in this horse community, training and breeding, I don't know. But at age 5, they decided that it was a burden to take Kathleen with them when they needed to travel. And so instead, they sent her and her nanny to England. And she tells Devin all this like later on in the book, that she was crying, you know, she's only 5 years old, and wanting to get off the boat. And if her nanny said, well, if you keep crying, then I'm going to leave too. Because the twins and Helen are very concerned about Kathleen, that she hasn't cried. They don't blame her for not crying over Theo's death. They barely cried because he's just a mean brother. But they can tell, like, you know, it's like watching a river dam build up and open up, and you see the water rising, like, it's gonna burst. And, of course, you know, being 5 years old, her brain said, okay, well, if you cry, then people are gonna leave you. So, this book is it's a heavy, heavy header for emotions. But it's also essential. Because even though it is Devin and Kathleen's story, it also is kind of Wes's story. It like sets Wes up for his own story in Devil's Daughter. It sets the twins and Helen up for their own stories. Like, Devin and Kathleen, we know they're going to get together. Obviously. And I don't want to say as much as their story isn't, like, romantic. It's just one of those, like, practical things that, like, practical is a weird word to use. It's going to happen. It's just the wind. The sexual tension is too high. He comes back at Christmas time, and he's bringing back a friend of his, Reese Winterbourne, who is a Welshman. And of course, this being the 1800s, the Welsh weren't seen as anything but like, they were like worse than you could, it was, you know, worse to be Irish, but it's even like the worse to be Welsh. so dumb. He has one of the biggest department stores in the world. It's very successful. And he sends, for Christmas, he sends crates after crates after crates of glass ornaments for a Christmas tree, you know, tinsel, gifts, treats. I think he even sends like everything for a Christmas dinner. It's just one of those. He's a very generous person. And in his book, Helen points that out, like, you're a nice person. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. And like, you think people are going to see this as a weakness. She's like, I see it as a strength. It's just like, oh my God, Helen, my heart. There is a very tragic train accident that occurs where Devin and Reese are kind of trapped. Reese gets hit, gets a piece of glass, something, glass in his eyes, where he's temporarily blinded. And has to stay at with the Ravenels. Oh, I want to say almost 2 months to recover. And the only person to get him to eat anything or whatever is Helen, because she's very soft spoken individual. She's very calm and collected. She does not possess, well, we don't think. And everybody says this, that she does not possess the Ravenel temper. But in Marion Winterbourne, she does tell Reese that she does. She just doesn't let people see it. Because then, you know, they would just look at her the wrong way and like, oh, well, you're not this person we want you to be. Of course. So yeah. So it sets up, this book is very important for the whole series because it just gives you a background on who everybody is in the Ravenel family. Kind of their new family dynamic. All I can think of is kind of like the Brady Bunch, like that, how they're all like move into a house together and they're like, oh, we have brothers and sisters now, and this is really weird. And we've, like, met these people once at our parents' wedding. So, yeah. But let me get back to Wes. Wes is my favorite character. You can fight me on this. He has the biggest character arc, and it's not even in this book. It is, like, throughout his book, throughout Marion Winterbourne, Devil in Spring, which is Pandora's story, Hello Stranger, and Devil's Daughter, which is his book. So right off the bat, we know that he is basically an alcoholic. He doesn't do anything. He drinks, he eats, he parties, he gambles, and like he blacks out, like that is what he does. After having a traumatic childhood, yeah, I can see like why he would do that. So when Devin leaves the state to go back to London to figure out financials and everything like that, he asks Wes to stay and help Kathleen, or have Kathleen, like, to figure out the issues, like, okay, talking to tenants and stuff like that. Like, he needs a land manager that isn't just gonna tell him some bullshit that everything's fine when it's clearly not fine. He's like, I don't trust anybody except you to do this. And that's a big job. It's a big job to take on a role as a land manager with you no experience at all. And Kathleen does eventually ask him, well, why are you doing this? And he's like, well, Devin asked me to. He goes, Devin doesn't ask me for anything. I'm always asking him for something. And he's like, he doesn't ask me for stuff. Ever. And he's like, the least I can do is try my hardest and get some answers for him. And Kathy's like, respect. And that is, it is. It's a huge, like, respect to you. And knowing that how Theo died, you know, being thrown off a horse after he's drunk. And Theo, we kind of find out, like, that first day after Devin leaves, that Wes is kind of, like, perpetually drunk. We all know those people that are just like, oh, buddy, like, you're always drunk. And Kathleen stops him. And she tells him, she's like, you're not going on a horse. Like, you're drunk. You're not going on a horse. He sleeps and, like, detoxes, basically, for 3 days. And while he doesn't stop drinking, because like, I think he has, like, a glass of wine, like, here and there. It's definitely, like, he's not just constantly drinking, you know, brandy with a hint of tea in it or coffee. And when Devin comes, and he goes out to the farms. He talks to all the farmers. He learns, like, he is a hands-on person because he realizes, like, that's how he's going to get anybody to talk to him, is because they can't stop and talk. Like, they have work to do. And so he realizes that, okay, well, to gain these people's respect, I need to learn what they're doing so I can help them out. And he does. He, like, rolls up his shirt, like, literally takes off his jacket, hands it to Kathleen, rolls up his shirt, and, like, takes a sip and, you know, starts hacking away at grain. And, you know, by the time he's done with his one bushel, you know, his hands are bloodied and he's drenched in sweat. He's like, fuck, this is hard work. Okay. But he constantly does that. He does that the entire time Devin is gone. He rides out to farms, he helps, and he learns the basics of, like, each farm, of what they do, who works there, the families, not just, like, what they're struggling with, like, for on their farm, but, like, for their house, or if they have, like, a kid on the way, or how many children they have, like, their horse situation. Like, he learns all of it. And it's really important, that part. So when we get to Devil's Daughter, and it is about all his knowledge on modern, because he also, like, modernizes farming. Or this is the time when, like, farming is getting modernized, like, tractors are kind of coming out. And he learns all of that. He learns, like, the science of agriculture, and it's like, okay, we need to start doing this. Like, Devin has sent workers to put plumbing in this house, fix floorboards and things like that. Yeah, they've been using chamber pots in an outhouse. He's like, no, no, you know, fixing, scolding, moldy carpet, shit like that. And so Wes takes on the responsibility that Devin asked him to, I don't think Devin realized the power of his words until he came back. And he goes to pick up Wes at the train station and doesn't even not recognize his brother because he's lost. He's lost all his weight. He's still losing some weight. And, like, Devin gets emotional because he looks like his brother again. You know, he's not, I don't want to say he's not fat, but his face isn't red and he's not tired. He's not drunk. And it's just kind of like the power of words on what you say to somebody, especially your family, and the effect it has on them. Yeah. But Wes isn't like, oh my God, I resent you for this. Like, he thanks Devin. He's like, I needed a purpose in life. I didn't realize I needed a purpose. And now I have one. Yeah, it's really beautiful. It's really beautiful. Well, I guess I wrote down the name. Okay, so the name of the state is Eversby Priory. Okay, so like I said, this cold-hearted rake, yes, it is about Devin and Kathleen, but it's much more. It is much more. Because when Devin brings Winterbourne to Eversby Priory, it's kind of also for the intentions that, like, maybe Rhys will marry Helen and will pay him the dowry instead of Devin paying the dowry. It's very sneaky, and he kind of, and that's, he and Kathleen get into it. And again, it turns into, like, biting is our foreplay. And he knows it's wrong. And he's like, that's why he's like, I'm not pressuring her into doing this. He's like, I just wanted to see what would happen. Helen is curious about Rhys. And I hate using the soulmate trope, but it is very clear that, like, her and Rhys, just this connection they make in Cold Hearted Rake is just kind of, is so innocent and pure. And it is definitely, like, I feel this is definitely a soulmate connection. And then they go to London. They finally end up in London. And they go to London. And none of the Ravenels, Helen and the twins, Pandora and Cassandra, they've never been to London before. And they're overwhelmed. And when I say that, like, I mean that they have not left Eversby Priory. Ever. I think that maybe at one point they were, like, allowed to go into the village, but because they're part of the peerage, you know, they're kind of held at arm's length, like, okay, they're fine ladies, we don't talk to them. And it's so sad. But Rhys also sends a phonogram to the house, and Kathleen wants to send it back. Can't accept this. Like, this other thing about Kathleen is that the family that raised her, I didn't write her name. But, like, if there was an etiquette guidebook, Kathleen probably read it and had it, like, grained into her brain. So, for, you know, they're all in mourning. And there's, of course, you know, a whole separate thing for etiquette for mourning. And everybody's just kind of like, Kathleen, like, no one gives a shit about this. And she's like, we have to do this. And she's all about the rules. And it's very annoying. But at the same time, like, having no control over your life, I mean, it's unbearable. And so I think that's why she's such a control freak, is because it's literally like the rules of society and propriety are like the one thing she can control. And so I think people just kind of like, okay, we'll do this. But then she also kind of gives in a little, like Reese Winterbourne invites them to a private shopping trip to Winterbourne's. And it's like an after hours thing. They go in the back, so like no one knows that they're there, like heaven forbid. And she like refuses to have like any fun. Like she refuses to do any of the shopping. She's like, and she's telling Devin like, this is so improper, like we shouldn't be doing this. You know, like the twins are having so much fun. Helen and Winterbourne go off because he wants to show her the pianos, because of course, like, she plays the piano and it's beautiful, and but there's no piano at their London house, and he's just like, okay, I'm gonna get you a piano, like it's the best piano there is. And she's like, I okay. They come back to the group and they are engaged, and Kathleen is not happy because she thinks that Helen is settling, that this is like the first person to take notice in her. So of course, like, she's gonna want to say yes. And she's like, because of course she's just like thinking of her own debut and, you know, Theo proposing, like, that's your first proposal and stuff like that. And because she's like, oh, he just wants you for your title, because of course Reese doesn't have a title. And she's like, oh, I'm fine with that. Like, and she tries to tell Kathleen that she doesn't care about any of that. She's interested in Reese. And of course, he comes over and he kisses her for the first time, but it's like this super, super passionate kiss. And he doesn't take into account how shy and how sheltered Helen has actually been her entire life. And Helen like burst out crying because that's her first kiss ever. Like, obviously. And it was just kind of like an all at once thing. And she cries, and of course Helen's like, okay, I'm putting on like the mama bear gloves, like how dare you do this to her. And she goes after Reese, she goes to his house, and she's like scolding him, and he like bites right back of like, she knew what I was doing, blah 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 blah. And you know, like, he tries to put the blame on Helen. And we do know that in Marion Winterbourne, the second book, that, like, all that was, like, he didn't mean it. It's just said because, like, he was upset. And then he was even more pissed off that, like, Kathleen was there. And Kathleen had no right to be there to, like, interfere. And she didn't. And she does apologize to Helen multiple times in Marion Winterbourne. thankfully. So it obviously sets up Marion Winterbourne perfectly. While she's at Winterbourne's house, Devin comes in and rescues her, but it's kind of like rescues her. And she also finds out that again, spoiler alert, that she's pregnant. She told, there was like a pregnancy scare. We later do find out, like, at this time that she lied to Devin. She told him she wasn't pregnant, and she was. Well, she thought she wasn't, but she miscalculated dates and stuff like that. So she's pregnant. So they go off and they get married. And that's basically cold-hearted Rake. It is, I don't want to say it's a clusterfuck of a book. I think I described it like that. But, again, yes, it's Devin and Kathleen's story, but it's also kind of like the Ravenel's, like, we got to start again. And we got to introduce all these people all at once instead of, like, throughout books. It's a great book. It's not anywhere near my favorite of the books. It's 'cause I don't like Kathleen. And even reading it again, I'm just like, I don't like you. I understand her, and I get the way she is, the why she is, you know, the control freak. That's okay. I like Devin, though. I really like Devin. I really like Wes. I think Wes is my favorite character out of all of them. But again, it sets up who these people are, what they're facing. It sets up the rest of the series. And there are some really good sex scenes in here. There's some good, I think it's a library scene. So it's not a boring book at all. It's a lot. Because, like, there's a lot that happens in it. And for it only being 419 pages, it doesn't feel like that. At least listening to it doesn't feel like it's a terribly long book. Yeah, that is Cold Hearted Rake. I really like it. I really want to own this series in paperback. It's also a really good series. It's definitely a comfort. I find, like, listening to it again, it was definitely like a comfort read. And I've seen a lot of people do that on Instagram and mention that it's a comfort read series. And listening to it again, I was like, yeah, I can see that. Like, if I had, you know, $200 to spend on audiobooks, I would definitely own the complete series on audiobook. For sure. I just need to wait for, like, the books to go on Chirp, where they're, like, $3.99 or less. But I understand. I really do get why everybody, like, loves this series. And why it's comfort read. Because there's a lot. There's a lot of emotions. Not all the characters are the same. I know some people really don't like how Pandora changed from this wild child to her book in Devil and Spring. I call that character development and growing up. Like, Pandora is definitely like the most immature character in this entire series. Is it surprising that she's the first of the twins to get married? Yes, it is. Since Cassandra is considered, this gorgeous, beautiful girl, she has this sweet temperament. Not that Pandora isn't beautiful, but she's always like, speaks her mind, just kind of has no filter at all. And again, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And so I know some people don't like that she kind of changes, but I'm like, I call that growing. Her book is very like, what? Basically, like every 5 pages. Yeah, I think the only book I don't really understand in this whole series is Hello Stranger. It is a recurring character from Marion Winterbourne. And I'm going to like not get her name right. It is Dr. Garrett Gibson. I wrote it down. She's the only female doctor in England. There's like spoiler alert, surprise bastards in these books. And Ransom, the love interest, the main character of Hello Stranger, turns out to be one of those bastards. And Devon and Wes are like, well, of the late Earl, not Theo, but Theo's father. And they're like, you should have been the one to inherit this. It's a full-length book. I really feel like it could have been a novella. It's a little tedious. It's very, very good though. It fits randomly in this series. But it also, Wes is in it a lot. And again, it just shows that like where Wes came from and where he is now. Fantastic character. So yeah, so that is Cold Hearted Rake and the Beginnings of the Ravenel. So after Cold Hearted Rake, you're gonna do Marion Winterbourne, Devil in Spring, which is Pandora's story, Hello Stranger, which I just said is Dr. Garrett Gibson's book, Devil's Daughter, which is Wes's book. Okay, so Devil in Spring and Devil's Daughter. If you have read the Wallflower book, you know Devlin Winter and what is his name? I think his name is Sebastian. It's right there in the book. Okay. Sebastian Lord St. Vincent. So they are brought up again because it's one of their sons that Pandora meets and marries, Gabriel, in Devil in Spring, and then it's their oldest child, Phoebe, and Devil's Daughter. And Phoebe is a widow, and single mom of two. And Wes just comes in and it's just, oh God, it's so beautiful, you guys. It is such a beautiful book. Chasing Cassandra. Chasing Cassandra actually might make you cry a little. And then the seventh book that just came out is Devil in Disguise. And that is a part of the Wallflower series as well. Spin-off. And I don't know whose her parents are. So. But, and I have not read that one. So, I didn't. Yeah, it just came out July. So. Anyways, I individually, I give Cold Hard Rake, I don't know, simply a 4 out of 5. But the whole series, I give ace out of the ballpark, 5 out of 5, hands down. I will go on the bandwagon and say that this is a very must-read series for romance readers, course historical romance, and but I would recommend them to anybody who maybe doesn't care for historical romance because I feel like they're very modern for historical romance. Just the family dynamics and the found family overall. Oh, excuse me, found family trope in there. Yeah. So, if you're not a historical romance reader, I'm telling you now, this series does not really read like a historical romance. And they're not all fucking tragic. I know I kind of made them sound like they're a little tragic. They're not. They are really funny at times. Of course, they're sad at sometimes. You might end up throwing the book across the room at sometimes, going, what in the actual F is going on? Yeah. So that's Cold Hearted Rake by Lisa Calypsis. Calypsa? Calypsas? Yeah, I'll figure it out someday. And the Ravenel series. Thank you for listening. New episodes are coming out every Monday, Wednesday. I don't know what day this is coming out. Find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Paperback Romance Book Club. Check out my website. I got that up and going, you guys. PaperbackRomanceBookClub.com. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Yeah, if you guys have any comments, questions, concerns, want to give your 2 cents about your reviews on this book or any book else I've covered, email me at paperbackromancebookclub@gmail.com. I would love to read them. And yeah, and just know if you guys have read this or not. So, thank you for listening. Welcome back. Yay! Yeah. And I think that's everything. Remember, if you guys are into true crime, Paperback True Crime Book Club is coming back too this week. We're starting with Silence of the Lambs and Cold Brew Corpse by Tara Lush. So excited. Yeah, it's a cozy mystery book and she owns a coffee shop. I'm literally drinking cold brew coffee right now. So all right. Thank you guys and happy reading. Bye.